12.
Where is he?
Barbara said. Vern was sitting on the edge of his bed, cleaning his pipe with a match and a strip of toilet paper.
Where is who? Carl, how many people are there here?
Vern looked up at her, standing in the doorway. He's shaving, down at the bathroom. Why? Barbara came into the room. It was morning, a clear, bright morning. Sunlight danced through the windows into the room, over the cots and chairs, the piles of clothing and neckties and men's shoes.
We're going hiking, Barbara said.
Hiking? What's that a euphemism for?
We're going up in the hills and he's going to read his manuscript to me. Didn't he say anything about it? Wasn't he jumping up and down and telling about it 60 times?
No, he's been very quiet. What sort of manuscript? What's going on?
It's a philosophical treatise, a credo, all the many thoughts he's had about the universe and what makes it go.
Does he know what makes it go? I'm beginning to get interested. Am I invited?
Not by me. Anyhow, you wouldn't enjoy it. We're going to sit and discuss and watch the wind blowing through the trees and the clouds crossing the sky.
Vern gave her an inscrutable glance. Really? Is that so? Nothing else?
Stop fishing around. Of course, nothing else.
All right. I gather, however, that you're taking an interest in our young man.
Our?
Don't you remember what we were saying? When was it? Yesterday? Or have you forgotten already?
We said a lot.
About him? About the young blonde-haired boy with blue eyes and an empty head?
We said that?
Vern studied her. No. Not exactly. But something along those lines. Something about a youth, a virgin youth coming along? I guess you're all over your spell. You have certainly recovered quickly, no residue? Nothing left of all your fright? I can't believe you've completely forgotten.
No. No, I haven't completely forgotten.
Is that why you're going to hear his thesis? Because of yesterday? Because of what happened to us?
Perhaps.
They stood looking at each other across the room. Distantly, down the hall came the sound of water and somebody moving around. Somebody began to whistle.
Since we're all going to have to live with each other, I'd prefer to know him a little better.
Barbara smiled at Vern.
I already know about you.
Vern shrugged. Sounds like a good enough idea to me. Go ahead. I see nothing wrong with it. Except...
Except what?
If you're going to hang around him, you should try to watch your step. Sometimes you can rather foul up a naive person, the way you talk. You seem to have developed quite a brisk attitude toward childhood foolishness. If you want to get anywhere with Carl, don't be too harsh on him. He may tax your patience.
So?
So watch out. Vern stood up, cocking his head on one side. He'll be out in a minute. I see nothing wrong in your going around with him, but if you're not careful, you can queer the whole thing right off the bat. As far as I'm concerned, I'd like to see something work out. After all, I have a stake in this myself, or so we seemed to believe the other day. In any case, remember this, when he starts rushing about, kicking his heels and jumping up in the air.
I'm glad you approve of us. Thanks for all the benedictions.
Not at all. Here he is. Carl strode into the room, a shaving mug in one hand, a towel thrown over his shoulder. He was naked to the waist. At the sight of Barbara, he stopped abruptly, his face turning red. Come in, Vern said. It's just a friend.
Hello, Carl murmured. I was shaving. Then it's true, Barbara said. What's true?
Carl put down his mug and towel and slid into a sports shirt, buttoning it rapidly.
That you shave.
Carl grinned sheepishly.
Why not?
I understand you're going up in the hills with this young lady, Vern said. Why didn't you tell me about it? I feel left out.
Sorry, I...
Am I invited? Can I come along? I wouldn't mind spending some time out of doors. Confused, Carl glanced at Barbara. He twisted helplessly.
You want to come? I'm sorry I didn't say anything about it. I guess there's no reason why you can't come. Are you sure you want to come? It'll be very dull. If you want to come, I guess it's all right. It's all right by me.
Vern pondered. No, I have some work to do. I think I'll stick around here. You two young people go on alone. I'll be all right. Barbara moved to the door.
Let's go. Let's get started before it heats up. It's going to be a wonderful day.
Carl sat down on his cot and tied his shoes quickly. He bounced to his feet again.
Well, here we go. Goodbye, Vern. We'll see you later.
Goodbye. They went down the hall, downstairs, and out onto the porch.
You see?
Carl said.
Wonderful day. How could we ask for anything better?
Where's your manuscript?
My gosh, I forgot it. Wait.
Carl went back into the building.
I'll run up and get it.
He clattered up the stairs. A few minutes later, he returned, breathless and excited, holding a brown package under his arm.
Is that it?
Barbara asked.
That's it. Imagine forgetting it. I would have noticed, but not for a while.
All right,
Barbara said.
Let's head for the woods.
It took quite a long time to reach the woods. They left the company property, passing beyond the strip that was the final marker, and began to climb. The woods were near the top of a long row of hills, trees crooked and bent like ancient people too old to follow after the others who had left. Carl and Barbara crossed a plowed strip and entered the first grove of trees, panting with exertion as they walked.
Stop,
Barbara gasped.
Already?
I have to get my breath.
They stopped, turning to look back down. Below them, stretched out across the floor of the valley, was the company. The towers and buildings, slag heaps, pits, open furnaces, roads crossed here and there, roads and paths.
How small it looks, Carl said. From here it looks so small. I thought it was much larger. I guess it really isn't so much after all. I've never been outside of the grounds before, not since I first came. Now I'm standing on the outside again after years. It feels strange to look down at it from beyond.
It does feel strange.
Well, let's go.
Carl started on, into the woods.
We have to find a place to sit down.
Is it safe?
Barbara looked around them.
Is what safe?
The woods. It looks so dark and hostile. Are there any animals or anything?
Carl laughed.
Not anymore. Company men went in and beat out everything. All the animals and snakes and birds they could find.
Why?
I don't know. Company policy in a new location?
Barbara peered in between the trees. The woods were silent and dark. Nothing stirred.
I feel like Gretel. You're sure it's safe?
Come on.
Carl went off first, leading the way.
I personally guarantee your safety.
He disappeared into the trees. Barbara followed slowly after him, her hands in the pockets of her slacks. She gazed up at the trees above her, at the masses of dark brush and weeds on all sides, great roots twisted through the damp soil, old roots, bigger than the trees themselves.
Coming?
Carl halted. Barbara came up to him.
Yes.
We better stay together.
All right.
They tramped up the hill to the top. For a time they were on level ground, then the hill sank abruptly, sliding down into a canyon below. Scrub plants grew in bunches at the bottom. The soil was dry and sandy. Carl and Barbara stood, gazing down.
Maybe we can read here, at the top.
Barbara walked around, looking for a place.
How about over there under that tree?
Carl stood with his hands on his hips, his brown paper package at his feet.
Isn't this something? We're at the top of the world. This is high. Do you know how high this is? We're on one of the highest plateaus in the world. This is old land.
He waved his hand at the canyon and the hills beyond.
Very old land. This is the original continent. These hills have been weathered through millions of years.
Oh?
Barbara sat down gingerly at the foot of a great tree. She lit a cigarette. Carl continued to stand. Hills and valleys, narrow canyons and flat stretches surrounded them on all sides, as far as the eye could see. In the distance, the mountains took on a bluish tint, an indistinct hue. The mountains went up, higher and higher. The highest were lost in the rolls of white clouds scattered across the sky.
I feel like God,
Carl announced.
Why?
To be here, at the top of the world?
He waved his whole arms, like a symphony conductor.
Look, I'm creating the world. Here it comes. Hold on tight.
His whole body moved as he swayed back and forth, as if he were conducting some heavy masterpiece of the middle 18th century. He frowned, concentrating. His blonde hair hung down, slapping against his forehead. Back and forth he swayed, eyes shut, jaw set. Barbara watched silently, smoking and resting.
Look, it's here!
Carl stepped back, throwing up his arms as if to protect himself.
Get back!
What's here?
The world! I just made it! It's still hot! We'll have to wait for a while until it cools off!
He came over to her, grinning down, his hands in his pockets.
Well, what do you think of it? Any suggestions?
For what?
Suggestions as to how it should be.
He considered.
What'll I do with it? I have to put things on it. Men. I want human beings running around. No world's complete without people. Let's see.
He folded his arms solemnly.
I wonder if there's anything better than men that's come along recently. Maybe there's something new. I better get hold of the monthly bulletins and study them.
Barbara shook her head.
What's the matter?
Carl squatted down. His grin faded a little, shading into embarrassment.
Am I acting silly again?
No, it's all right.
Wait.
Carl went back to get his manuscript.
I left it behind again. You see, I forgot it. Well, that shows something. It's very important the way I keep leaving it behind me.
What does it show?
It shows I don't really want it. It shows I want to get rid of it. It's a secret unconscious wish.
Barbara smiled.
Really? It's true. I forgot on purpose. That's what forgetting is, an unconscious act, getting rid of something you don't want. That's what Freud says.
He sat down beside her and began to unfasten the cord from around his package.
You certainly have it all tied up,
Barbara observed.
I'm protecting it. It has to be safe from all harm. You see, if my unconscious wants me to get rid of it, I have to fight all the harder consciously to protect it.
He folded the cord up and put it in his pocket. He removed the brown paper carefully.
How does it look?
He held the package up.
It looks fine.
Well, that's half the battle. Carl slid the first few pages under.
Now, the question arises as to just how it sounds.
He stroked the paper for a time, not saying anything but just sitting and holding his manuscript with his large, pale hands. Presently, he reached up and pushed his hair back from his forehead.
I'm ready, Barbara said. Anytime.
Carl nodded.
All right. It's quite a strange place here, isn't it? So silent. Not a sound. No one at all, anywhere around us. We might be the only two people left in the world, like in those English doom stories that were popular in the 30s, where the world has come to an end, except for a young man and a young woman. No one else left but them. Civilization in ruins, apes and bats running all over, empty cities, and just the two of them, to rebuild the world.
Do they?
Well, they have to get married first.
Barbara laughed.
Why are you laughing?
Carl turned toward her.
No reason. I used to read a lot of those stories. I've made a study of them. As near as I can tell, the first one of that type was written about 1910 by George Allen England. It was a huge book called Darkness and Dawn. Nobody today remembers it.
How did you come across it?
Oh, I found a copy in an old bookstore. That was a long time ago, when I was about 13. I don't remember very much about it, except that the girl had long hair, and that their clothing had rotted away during all the years they were in suspended animation, and when she got up, all her clothes fell away in pieces.
Well, that's something to file away in your mind. Carl nodded.
I guess so. Funny I remember that.
Maybe sometime it'll turn out to be useful, a bit of information like that. Carl gazed at her owlishly. Barbara smiled at him, her cigarette held loosely against her lips. She blew smoke lazily toward him. The smoke circled around him, dissolving in the air.
Cigarette smoke looks so odd here,
Carl said.
Why? We're so far from things like that. Cigarettes and radios and movies and bathtubs, all the things that go to make up our world.
He gestured back the way they had come.
There it is, down there. Our world, like a little postage stamp, a little square behind us. And someday it'll be gone.
I guess so.
And soon, only a few days, they'll be here in a few days, and that'll be the end.
Why? Are they going to burn it all up?
It doesn't matter. For us, it's the end.
Barbara shook her head.
I don't understand.
Whatever they do, it's the end for us, because it won't be ours anymore. To do with as we want. It's only your world and my world as long as we have power over it. In a few days, the power will pass from us into other hands. Then we'll leave, the three of us.
Barbara stubbed out her cigarette.
Do we have to talk about it? It depresses me.
Why?
Well, it's so much like death.
Carl grunted.
It is, isn't it? But death is strange. You never know where it'll come from.
He looked up at the sky.
For instance, a bird might drop half a clamshell down on us and kill one of us.
Does that happen?
Once in a long while.
Why would a bird be carrying a clamshell, for God's sake?
She lit a new cigarette.
They take them up high to drop them on something. A stone, something hard, to break them open.
We're a long way from the ocean.
That's true. I guess it won't happen then.
They were silent for a time, each of them deep in thought. Finally, Carl roused himself. He shuffled through the pages of his manuscript.
I guess I could start.
Fine.
I'll just read parts here and there. I don't want to bore you. It's all the philosophical notions I've picked up from time to time. As soon as you're tired of hearing them, just nod to me and I'll stop.
Okay.
Carl folded a leaf back, clearing his throat. He wiped his upper lip nervously.
Shall I start?
Yes, start.
Carl began to read, slowly, carefully, his voice low and intent. After he had read for a long time, he suddenly put the manuscript down and gazed over at Barbara. Barbara stirred.
Go on.
How does it seem to you?
Fine.
I'm skipping quite a lot, of course. I mainly want to give you the conclusions.
So far, it sounds fine.
I'll read you some more, then.
Carl read on. Above them, great clouds drifted across the sky, covering the sun. The air turned cold. When Carl stopped to turn a page, Barbara reached out and touched his arm.
What is it?
Carl blinked.
I'm freezing.
You are?
I sure am.
She scrambled to her feet.
The fog's in.
Carl gaped up at her.
Are you going?
I think we should go back. We can read some more later on.
She held out her hand.
I'll help you up.
Carl was crestfallen.
I'm afraid you were bored.
Bored? Hell, I'm cold and damp and I'm beginning to get hungry.
Hungry? Really?
He got up slowly, gathering together all his papers and string and wrappers. Barbara caught hold of his hand, pulling him toward her.
Thanks.
Her hand was firm and small. He could feel her hard nails against his skin. He let go suddenly.
What's the matter?
Barbara said.
Nothing.
Carl wrapped up his manuscript and tied the cord around it. He pushed it under his arm and turned toward her.
All finished.
Barbara began to brush bits of leaves and grass from her clothes. Carl watched. Presently, he made a move to help, patting her gingerly with his big, broad hand. Barbara stopped, rigid.
Did I hit you?
Carl said.
No, I'm jumping.
They looked at each other. Barbara smiled a little. Carl circled around her.
I'm sorry if I hit you.
No, you didn't.
She finished brushing herself off.
Come on, back down to civilization.
Carl nodded, falling in beside her. They made their way back the direction they had come.
I didn't hurt your feelings, did I?
Barbara asked.
No.
She glanced at him. He was trudging along, his eyes on the ground, his face blank.
Was he mad at her?
Had she hurt his feelings? It was hard to tell. She knew so little about him.
Watch your step,
Carl murmured. Dirt and leaves rained down the slope ahead of them, dislodged by Carl's huge shoes. He jumped down onto some big roots, helping her down beside him. He was strong. She could feel how strong he was. It was in his hands and arms, in his shoulders. She had felt it when he tried to brush her off. He had struck at her awkwardly, clumsily, like some sort of big, kindly animal. It was the strength of youth. Carl was very young. But not really so young. Not much younger than she was. She had forgotten how young she was. She had thought for so long about her age, not her youth. Carl was not more than a few years younger than she. Not even that much. They were almost the same age. It was hard to believe, but it was so. They were the same age, but their lives had not been the same. What kind of life had Carl lived? Books and stamps and microscope slides. A world of ideas. But that was not all. If it had been all, Carl would have gone on and become a biologist. He would still be peering through his microscope at his slides. No, there was more. He had lost faith in those things. Not completely, but somewhat. Enough so that he had given up his way of life. His room full of stamps and books and maps and whatever else he had mentioned. And in their place, what? What instead? What had he done? What had there been that he had not told her about? She watched him as he strode down, kicking dirt and leaves out of his way. It was hard to tell about him. Maybe he had done things he had not told her about, things with women. But it was hard to imagine him with a woman, very hard. It was not possible. He would have run away. She tried to picture him, the great blonde boy, his cheeks red, his heart beating. It could never happen. He would run off. But she had been mistaken about another man. She had not understood him, and her misunderstanding had worked against her. This other man had appealed to her, too. But he had been very different from Carl. He had not been large. Vern was small and slender, and he was older, not younger than she. Vern was not some friendly, excited animal. He was crafty and cynical, behind his horn-rimmed glasses, with his pipe and his talk and his thin, nervous hands. She had learned a lot from Vern. There was no getting around that. It had made her wary. She would never go to another man the way she had gone to Vern, naked and warm and blushing, ready to be taken. Taken so easily, as if it were nothing. It would never happen that way again. She was much too wary now. No man would have her like that again. But Carl wasn't a man. He was a boy, a huge, excited boy. It was not the same thing at all. Carl had come to a ledge and was waiting for her, looking up anxiously at her, his big face full of alarm. She smiled down at him, down at his warm blue eyes, so innocent and concerned. "Thanks," she murmured. It was not the same at all. She reached out, and Carl took hold of her hands. Barbara jumped down, gasping. She came to rest beside him, panting and flushed. They were getting to the bottom, down onto level ground again. Carl was still holding onto her hands, gripping her hands tightly with his own. She did not pull away.
"We're almost there," Carl said.
Barbara nodded. His hands felt good, wrapped all around her own. She stood quietly, head down a little, by the great blonde boy. This was so different, so far removed from all the things that had come before, all the things that had happened to her. It was nice, the pressure of his hands, the cold wind moving through the trees and bushes around them, the silence, no one to bother them. They were completely alone. Barbara closed her eyes. She felt her body relax, her arms, her shoulders. Her face muscles were beginning to loosen. Her whole frame seemed to be giving away. Like a heated candle, it seemed to be melting down, dissolving, a sudden softness creeping through every part of her. What an odd feeling. Would her arms come off? Her fingers drop off, now that there was no support, no form on which they could be fastened? She felt shaky, unsteady on her feet. Inside her, all her parts were oozing and thawing. Her organs, the organs of her body, must be bleeding. Blood must be running down them, dripping and dropping, forming puddles and pools, warm and thick. What an awful thought. But that was the way it felt. The melting of her insides continued. She thought of the old fairy story about the princess who had a heart of stone, a heart of rock, hard, heavy, lodged inside her like shot. Her whole body was like this heart. And now it was dissolving back into blood and liquid, wavering and swimming into itself, murky and heated, heated from underneath, like a cauldron bubbling in some witch's cave.
"Are you all right?" Carl said. "You look so strange."
"I'm all right."
She thought how the sun had set fire to her that morning, when she had awakened and found her room warm and bright, rays of sunlight streaming across her bed. Heat was good. It drove off the cold and wet. Cold and wet. She felt suddenly terrified. In cold and wet, she might rust or freeze. She needed the sun. Something had to be there, shining around her, warming her, driving off the dampness. Something from outside. The internal fire was not enough. It did not stay long enough to melt everything. Barbara set her lips. Already she could feel her organs settling back into their cold shapes. The warmth in her was exhausted, worn out. It was leaving again, as quickly as it had come. The cold was seeping back. She shuddered.
It's cold.
Yes, we better go.
Carl took his hands away.
Wait.
He stopped, questioningly.
Wait for me.
She stepped quickly down beside him, walking close by him.
The goddamn wind.
Ow.
Barbara rubbed her arms.
I'm freezing. When we get back, we can fix coffee.
All right.
Carl, don't go so fast. Wait for me.
Carl slowed down, waiting for her to catch up with him.
He was so big. He moved so quickly, crashing down the slope.
She was afraid of the cold wind, the rows of twisted, silent trees. There was no one around for miles, only silent trees and wind and the fog coming down from the sky, blotting out the sun. Suppose Carl left her. Suppose they got separated. Suppose she were left behind.
Damn it,
Barbara said.
I can't walk as fast as you can.
Sorry.
She was breathing quickly, her face flushed. Carl glanced at her, puzzled. She was walking with her head down, stepping carefully.
Was she angry at him again? What had he done this time?
Carl shook his head. It was hard to tell with her. Maybe he had read too long.
We'll be down soon, he murmured.
She nodded.
I guess we stayed up here too long. I lose track of time when I'm reading. That's a funny thing, the way time gets longer or shorter depending on what you're doing. Like at the dentist's office. Every second seems like an hour.
He glanced at her, but she said nothing.
That's not just an illusion.
He murmured.
As I recall, Einstein mentions it in his theory about how time is elastic.
They walked in silence.
Next time we won't have to stay so long.
Carl gripped his package sadly against him.
I'm sorry I made you stay so long. I can see you're mad at me.
I'm not mad.
I can tell.
How?
By the way you look.
How do I look?
Your face is red and you're not saying anything. That means you're mad. Maybe I should throw the whole thing away. Maybe that would be best.
Carl lifted up the brown package.
I think I'll throw it as far as I can. I used to be pretty good at discus throwing. In school, I was second on our team.
He stopped, legs wide apart, body bent to one side, the package swinging back and forth. He closed one eye, his body tense. He took careful aim.
Watch. I'm gonna throw it over that group of trees. I used to be able to heave things that far.
Are you sure you want to do it?
Carl hesitated, wavering slightly.
Will you let me read some more of it to you?
Barbara laughed.
Of course.
Broad smiles broke out all over Carl's face.
I guess I won't do it then.
He put the manuscript back under his arm.
I'll keep it a while longer.
That's good.
You're not mad at me anymore. Your face isn't flushed with rage.
Really?
I guess you've decided to forgive me.
Carl was beginning to regain his enthusiasm.
I'm glad. I can't see why people stay mad. Quick to anger, quick to forgive. The Irish are that way. That's the only way to be. You should never allow emotion to cloud your rational mind for very long. It's impossible to make decisions when you're emotionally dominated. Emotion is like liquor or drugs. It distorts reality for you. You can't see clearly.
Is that so?
Someday I'm going to make a study of things like that, the non-rational influences that overcome man.
Suddenly, Barbara stopped.
Look.
What? What is it?
It's Vern.
Somebody was coming across the plowed slope toward them, walking slowly across the brown soil. Vern gazed up at them through his glasses as he came nearer, his hands in his pockets, his pipe between his teeth.
Greetings,
he said, stopping. Carl's joy faded.
Hello, Vern, he murmured.
What you been doing? You're all over leaves and bits of grass,
Vern brushed Carl's shoulder.
We've been reading,
Carl said.
Well, well.
Come on, Barbara said, continuing down the slope. Let's go.
The two men followed her.
You're going back with us?
Carl asked Vern.
Might as well. Nothing else to do.
What were you doing out here?
Just wandering around. Did you have a good time with your treatise?
All right.
Good.
We're going to fix something to eat.
Vern showed interest.
Really?
Sounds interesting. What sort of something? I might come along.
Come along if you want, Carl said indifferently.
Thank you.
I thought you said you had work to do.
Oh, I finished that.
Carl said nothing for a while. At the bottom of the slope, Barbara stopped and waited for him and Vern to catch up with her. She noticed that his joy had fled.
Why the glum look?
No reason.
I'll tell you what, would you feel better if I fixed you some waffles?
Carl brightened.
Sure, that would be fine.
We don't have a waffle iron, Vern said sourly. We already went through that once.
The three of them went on, back toward the company grounds.